Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
American Airlines announced Sunday that it's cutting some 950 flights from its schedule to reduce the stress of its operations. The airline noted in an email statement that it's facing an incredibly quick ramp-up of customer demand. The National Transportation Safety Board announced Sunday it's investigating a fiery multi-vehicle crash Saturday on Alabama's Interstate 65 that killed 10 people, including 9 children, as storms swept through the southeast. The crash south of Montgomery, Alabama, occurred amid a tropical depression that triggered flash floods, spawned tornadoes, and razed dozens of homes. The New Zealand Olympic Committee has announced that Laurel Hubbard has been selected for the women's weightlifting team for the Tokyo Games. That will make her the first openly transgender athlete to compete in the event. BMX rider Chelsea Wolfe will become the first openly trans athlete with Team USA when she arrives in Tokyo as a reserve rider. This is USA Radio News.
Join me, George Norrie, for the Worldwide Contact in the Desert Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to June 28th. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure, jam-packed with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient civilizations, AI, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend delivers more than 130 presentations and special events showcasing 67 speakers from all over the world, with 2 extra weeks to view your favorite leading experts, including Avi Loeb with Clyde Lewis, Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, John Lear, Russell Targ, David Childress, Doc Wallach, and more. With breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, and more importantly, the new release of classified documents on the day of the soft opening of Contact in the Desert, we are your source for inside information. Join us June 25th at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. Make contact, contactinthedesert.com.
Colorado is putting more gun control legislation on law-abiding citizens. Jeremy Scott from the Oregon USA Radio News Bureau reports.
3 gun control bills were signed into law by Colorado Governor Jared Polis over the weekend, including one that allows cities and municipalities in the state to set their own gun regulations, as long as they are no more lenient than Colorado state law. A second bill requires the state to carry out public awareness campaigns to, quote, educate the general public about firearms. And the governor also signed a third measure that prohibits gun dealers from transferring firearms to another individual who has not undergone a successful background check or has been convicted of several specified misdemeanor offenses.
Tell your communities depend on the safety of firearms and reducing the threat and impact of gun violence on all of us.
The flurry of legislative action in Colorado comes after 10 people were shot and killed at a supermarket in Boulder in March, and a week later another mass shooting left 6 people dead in Colorado Springs.
Thanks for listening. We are USA Radio News.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MacTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
With vaccine hesitancy in the United States, the new Delta variant of the virus could flare up restrictions again this fall. Dan Araki with the Ohio USA Radio News Bureau reports.
The Delta variant of the coronavirus now accounts for about 10% of new cases in the United States after the strain first identified in India became the dominant strain in the UK. The more transmissible strain is already causing hotspots of infections in rural parts of Missouri and Kansas. Former FDA Commissioner Dr. Scott Gottlieb tells CBS's Face the Nation that forecasters expect Delta to lead to a surge in cases in the fall.
They are predicting that in a scenario where we only get to about 75% of the eligible population vaccinated and have a 60% more transmissible variant, which this new Delta variant may be 60% more transmissible than 117, they do show an upsurge of infection and reaching a peak of around 20% of the infection that we reached last winter. So about 20% of the peak in January we will hit in the fall at some point. I think that's probably an aggressive estimate. I don't think it will be quite that dire. But when you do look at those estimates, you see it varies widely between states.
The United States is vaccinating Taiwan, as the island nation east of Hong Kong has a very low vaccine rate.
Taiwan welcomed 2.5 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine from the U.S. on Sunday, more than doubling the island's arsenal of shots. The Biden administration initially promised to donate 750,000 doses, but increased that number as the administration advances its pledge to send 80 million U.S.-made shots around the world. Only about 6% of Taiwan's 23.5 million people have received one dose of the vaccine. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
USA Radio News.
You love your dog. Is something bothering him or her and you can't figure out what it is? Maybe they seem slow or lethargic, and maybe they just don't have energy. Wouldn't you like your dog to be living their very best life? PetJoy offers a money-back guarantee on all of its products. If your dog won't eat it or you don't see the results you want, just let us know and we'll make it right. Totally risk-free. What do you have to lose? You can't buy PetJoy multivitamins in a store. The only way you can get them is through this unique radio offer. And if you call right now, learn how to get 2 bottles free with your order. Turn your dog's life around and make him or her a happy camper. Ain't that right, boy? He said call PetJoy right now. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. 800-890-8117. That's 800-890-8117.
Live. Hey, we do it not because it's easy, but we do it because it's hard and because our democratic republic counts on it. And thank you for joining in and being part of the solution and not adding to the problem. We've got plenty of problems to deal with already. So whatever you can do to that end to lighten the load will be much appreciated for those of us that want to see the continuation of this great American idea. Hey, welcome back. 6 minutes after the top of the hour. I've been looking forward to this conversation with Mark Shaw. He is back with a follow-up. Really, it just seems to be a culmination of these books that he's been writing about, you know, regarding Dorothy Kilgallen and Marilyn Monroe and John F. Kennedy. And this latest one, Collateral Damage, The Mysterious Deaths of Marilyn Monroe and Dorothy Kilgallen and the Ties That Bind Them to Robert Kennedy and the JFK assassination. It's mind-blowing. And the way Mark lays this out, because when you first read this title and you go, wait, this all connects with the JFK assassination? Well, a little bit of background for Mark. So for those of you that may be hearing his name for the first time, he is a former criminal defense attorney, a legal analyst for CNN, ESPN, and USA Today for the Mike Tyson, O.J. Simpson, and Kobe Bryant cases, an investigative reporter and the author of 25, it's got to be closer to 30 books now, Mark, right?
Yeah, I just keep writing. And that subtitle, by the way, I tried to write the to use the longest subtitle ever used in the literary world. So there you go. Sorry.
Well, but hey, look it. It's because the proposition is not easily understood. This has been so complex. I mean, we still don't have the truth about JFK and so many other things that the government is involved with that has been kept away from us. And it's interesting that you have to, along the way, you pull a thread. And you and I talked about Dorothy Kilgallen. I remember as a kid reading, first of all, that, you know, she mysteriously died. And I was aware of Dorothy Kilgallen as a writer, as a TV star. You know, she was quite renowned. And the thing that she had in common with at that time, I think it was like 250 other people, was they were all investigating JFK, and mysteriously they find themselves dead and gone. I mean, and this has happened with our eyes wide open, and still to this day we don't know the whole truth and nothing but. But Dorothy Kilgallen's name keeps coming back into play here.
Well, it does, and you're right. There is a risk of trying to expose the truth. You know, you get on the air every day, and I'm sure you get people who don't agree with what you're doing. I certainly do with my books as well, but it's our duty to go ahead and try to present what we believe is the truth so people can make up their own mind. And this book was like, you know, one I wasn't going to write. You remember that I had written about the Kennedy assassination and the Poison Patriarch, and I wrote two books about Dorothy and her investigation of the JFK assassination and her, like you said, mysterious death in 65. So I wasn't going to write a new one, but people kept asking me whether there was a connection between the deaths of Marilyn Monroe in 1962 and Dorothy in 1965. And really, I kind of did things ass backwards here, because normally you would investigate Marilyn's death first, then JFK, then Dorothy. But I didn't do that, and I was just amazed when I started finding these connections between Dorothy and Marilyn, and she's really the guide for the reader in here. I lay out everything like a prosecutor would, but when I started connecting them, it just opened a whole new window into what happened back in 1962 to 65, because, Bill, a lot of people don't realize these three, I guess you'd call them 20th century icons, died within 40 months of each other.
Yeah, exactly.
Just a few years later when RFK died. So it's a very turbulent time in our history, and I've tried to reconcile all that. This is kind of my contribution to history to try to figure all this out.
Well, and as an investigative reporter, I mean, there's so many questions that come about, and as you start to break that down, that was one of the things that stuck out quite clearly as I was reading your book. You go, wait a minute, that's right. When you think about it, in a short period of time, you've got the deaths of three icons, and who seems to be the center, which is going to be mind-blowing, because it blew my mind, because, you know, to be honest with you, when I was in college, I did some work on the Robert Kennedy campaign in California, okay? And to see, you know, this hidden diabolical nature that others give testimony about, I mean, this isn't your opinion, I mean, this is substantiated, that, boy, the Robert F. Kennedy that we didn't know.
Well, exactly, and you know, I've tried to resolve three true crime murder mysteries here, basically, in one book, but I had no idea about Robert Kennedy, and I must tell you, as I started out, I always had respect for him. You know, he helped us, we probably avoided a nuclear war during the Cuban Missile Crisis. He was an advocate for civil rights and all of that, but I started to learn about the dark side of Bobby, and it had started when he was appointed Attorney General, and Joe Kennedy had told the mobsters that if they helped them win the election for JFK, they'd leave those guys alone. And then Bobby became Attorney General and went after them. And I proved in my books that basically JFK was killed by the enemies of Bobby Kennedy because they were trying to render Bobby powerless and all that. And then it, with Dorothy Kilgallen leading me along, I got into the JFK assassination and her investigation and proved that she had figured out exactly what happened there. She was at the Ruby trial. She interviewed Jack Ruby, the only one to do so, and so on and so forth. And so leading up to her death in 65, I was able to show what she believed happened since she was on the scene down there. So all of that was done. And then all at once, as I started to get into looking into Marilyn's death, I found this photograph of the two of them that's in the book. You probably saw it, you know, looking at each other during a press conference for a movie that Marilyn was making. And I found I was always kind of suspicious of Marilyn having committed suicide. That was the official verdict, probable suicide.
Right.
But when I started, suspicious that I started looking in, and here's this column by Dorothy Kilgallen talking about, you know, talking about how Marilyn is brewing, and she's on the upswing, and she's got a new man in her life with a bigger name than Joe DiMaggio, a former husband of hers. And I kept thinking, wait a minute, you know, this doesn't sound like a woman who would be suicidal.
Then
I found the columns where Dorothy was asking the questions at the time of Marilyn's death. And she was always good with this and looking for clues and things. Why was the light on in Marilyn's bedroom when she died? She slept in the dark. Why was she found in the nude? She didn't sleep that way. If she ingested 50 pills in 3 hours, the timeline doesn't make sense. And where's the glass in the bedroom so she would have ingested that with water? And so that got me going, and then I started to find, you know, started to be suspicious, as you would, I think, of, hey, who was in Marilyn Monroe's life right before she died?
Exactly.
And since Dorothy had mentioned a bigger name than Joe DiMaggio, I immediately went, as I think most people would, to John F. Kennedy. because most people know that they had an affair after she sang Happy Birthday to him. Remember?
Yeah. That? Yes, exactly. The infamous birthday celebration song.
Exactly.
That we could only imagine for ourselves, right?
That's right. So they had this affair, but it was short-lived because Joe Kennedy put a stop to that, believing that JFK didn't need to be running around with Marilyn Monroe when he was going to run for re-election in 64. And so I landed on Bobby Kennedy. And the first thing...
And that's weird anyway, that you got Bobby Kennedy pinch-hitting for, you know, for Jack.
Well, Jack had basically dumped her. And so along comes Bobby, and I found out that, you know, he had been in L.A. during 1962 working on a movie possibility with his book, The Enemy Within, about the mafia.
Yeah.
And then I found a letter from Jean Kennedy Smith, the president's sister. We understand you and Bobby are the new item!
Wow.
Please come
hey, Mark,
him.
We got to go to break. We'll pick it up from there. We got more from Mark Shaw after this.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you feel America is facing more dangers than ever, you're right. Things are falling apart, it seems, every day. That's why you need to prepare for more of the unexpected, especially food shortages. When people panic, grocery stores run out of food fast. Would you survive without food for days, weeks, even months? The smart folks are buying emergency food now. Take a moment to shop MyPatriotSupply.com. We're America's leader in preparedness. With over a dozen years' experience, My Patriot Supply has earned over 40,000 four-star and five-star reviews. Our delicious, calorie-rich food averages 2,000 calories per day and lasts in storage up to 25 years, so it's there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com, order a kit or two, and we'll ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Don't wait for something bad to happen again. Rather, be more self-reliant and prepared. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your healthcare costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer offer you wonderful money-saving benefits. But you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
The best-selling author of The Reporter Who Knew Too Much, Mark Shaw, continues with his former criminal defense attorney and legal analyst. We're talking about his new book, Collateral Damage, The Mysterious Deaths of Marilyn Monroe, Dorothy Kilgallen, and the ties that bind them to, yes, Robert Kennedy and the JFK assassination. Mark, I want you to pick up where we left off as you were summarizing this. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, Dorothy Kilgallen had written some columns then about all the questions she had about Marilyn's death. What I did in this case is the same thing that I did in Dorothy's death. I went to the autopsies, and at 10:30 in the morning on the day after Marilyn died, they said it was a overdose of drugs. By 2:30 in the afternoon, it was probable suicide, and that just made me more suspicious of what happened. And I found out that Thomas Noguchi, who was the medical examiner, junior medical examiner that handled that case, and people will recognize that name from other cases that he botched.
Yes.
Basically said, hey, you know what, I made a mistake with this. I forgot to look at some of Marilyn's internal organs. That's a quote from him.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I figured that out, those organs had been destroyed. So that whole autopsy was just a mess, and so I pointed that out in my book. And then I went to look at Bobby Kennedy, and what the real most important thing in there, besides the letter from Gene Kennedy Smith, was a CIA document that I found that was sent around the day before Marilyn died. Robert Kennedy has been having a romance and a sex affair over a period of time with Marilyn Monroe. He is deeply involved emotionally with Marilyn and has repeatedly promised to divorce his wife to marry Marilyn. So that's what he was telling her. He had been to her home. He'd been all around the place with her.
And this is what Dorothy Kilgallen was aware of.
Well, and the CIA as well. That was in a document.
Right.
And then I found this document that connected the three of them. Marilyn had been to a party at a lodge up near Lake Tahoe, and supposedly, I think we proved, both Kennedys were there, Sam Giancana, the gangster, Frank Sinatra. And Marilyn got the idea that they were going to pass her around. In fact, she said at the point she felt like a piece of meat.
Oh, wow.
So she screamed and yelled and went back to L.A. and said, okay, I've had it. I'm going to the media with everything that I know about the love affairs. But the kicker was, and the thing that she did that was a cost to her life, in my opinion, was that she said in this CIA document, it says not only was she going to the media with the affairs with JFK and RFK, but she was going to divulge these matters of national security that both of them had told her about, whether it was pillow talk or whatever, one of them being how JFK had promised to kill Fidel Castro. Well, you can imagine, Bill, the threat there of Marilyn going to the media about the love affairs was bad enough.
Right.
But if she goes to the media and says they've been leaking these things, which in some ways would have been treason, their political lives would have been over. And so basically the next day after that, she was dead. And so I started to figure out exactly how that happened. I knew that Bobby Kennedy wouldn't be right there, although I knew he was there the day she died, because I found a ledger over at 20th Century Fox Studios saying he landed in a helicopter with Peter Lawford.
Yes, and that was my other question, was Peter Lawford was on the scene.
That's right. So they both were, and what I've been able to prove was they went to Marilyn's home and tried to beg her not to go to the media. She told him that she told them, I'm going to do this. I've got to let people know about how bad you people are and all that kind of thing. And as one person close to the scene there, and I only use primary sources, or, you know, witnesses and so on and so forth, said to me, when she threatened to go to the media, she was dead. So I tried to look into exactly how that happened, and what I did was go back to the autopsies and look for clues and things like that, like Dorothy Kilgallen would, and basically was able to show that, I'll be able to show in the book, as people will see, and I want them to make up their own mind, how she was given these barbiturates that killed her. There's a clue in there about an injury, a fresh injury she had at the time she died that was in the autopsy, and there are a couple other clues in there that kind of lead to how this happened. And so I surmise, Bill, that basically Bobby Kennedy could not let her go to the media. He used operatives wherever he got them to go over to her home, and basically Marilyn Monroe was dead shortly thereafter.
And this had to be by injection, Mark, right? Or am I going too far with that?
Well, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't by taking them with a glass of water.
Right.
So let people use their own imagination as to how else it might have gotten into her body. And again, I'd rather people, I'm not trying to be coy, but I'd rather people read how I took this through the steps of showing what I believe happened to her. And you know what's most interesting here to me, or what most readers have been telling me that I get emails from and things like that, is that this is true. If Bobby Kennedy would have been prosecuted for Marilyn Monroe's death, his complicity in her death in 1962, based on all of the strong evidence, then the people that killed JFK wouldn't have had to have killed him to make Bobby powerless, because he would have been powerless and not Attorney General again. And then you stretch that on, so there would have been no JFK assassination, and then you stretch that on, there would have been no death of Dorothy Kilgallen in 1965, because she wouldn't have investigated the JFK assassination. So the bottom line is that basically the abuse of power by Bobby Kennedy in 61 and 62 led to the death of these three icons.
Why was Bobby Kennedy assassinated?
Well, I've been working. You know, people ask me, "What's your next book, Mark?" I don't know if I'm going to look into that or not.
Yeah.
I've looked into it a couple times. The problem there is that motive is clear, and I look at motive with each one of these three deaths as well. But motive is clear. Bobby Kennedy knew that Marcello had, and we talked about that.
Yeah.
Marcello was the one, the New Orleans Don, who had the main motive to have killed JFK to render Bobby powerless. Well, now, if Bobby Kennedy runs for president and wins, what's the first thing he's going to do? He's going to go after Marcello and those guys.
Right.
So the motive is there to eliminate him. But I've looked into this some, and I've never been able to connect Sirhan Sirhan, if he's actually the one who shot RFK. RFK's son doesn't believe that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to be able to bring that connection in there somewhere, and it may be that I'll look into that a little bit more. But right now, I haven't been able to prove that through my credible sources yet.
Well, I'll tell you, I had a lengthy conversation with Rosie Greer. Rayford Johnson is suggested to be the one who got the gun. It was Rosie Greer who had the gun. He had the gun in his pocket, and later on it was Rafer who said, "Hey, give me the gun." And so when he gave him the gun, then it looked like as if he was the one that had taken the gun out of Sirhan's hands, but it was Rosie Greer that did.
I
can tell you that as a matter of fact. And so Rosie, being the humble guy that he is, he's not going to say anything about it. He just kind of went with it. But he was very upfront and very deliberate and precise with me about what had happened and how that came down. And
Interesting. Well, I'll keep that in mind. And, you know, people may be asking your listeners, why are we worried about this? It's 60 years ago almost or whatever. But it's all about history and distortions of history. And people like you and I have to be able to present facts and everything like that. So I want people to stop and think. And also, you know, I've connected the three of them, the subject of the book. But each one, was denied justice. Of course, JFK being assassinated, and then this whole Oswald alone theory and everything.
Right.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing, too, because how do you take out, how do you get the CIA and FBI out of the picture of this deal? You can't have, I mean, this was such an inside deal that it just couldn't have been just the mafia. You know, this smacks of inside complicity, just for any basic person doing any kind of investigation, you knew that the mafia could not have the sole power to do what they were able to do, to be able to arrange where the president was going, to be able to slow down the motorcade. And this is after two previous attempts on his life on that current tour, that it was what, in Detroit and then also in Florida, where they tried to assassinate him, but they didn't have control of the upper buildings, you know, the rooftops. So then here they go, and they do it again, and it was a total setup on him, I believe, in what happened in Dallas.
Good point. Well, you know, I hope that people will give the book a shot, and I love to hear from people. I get tips from people.
I want you to know I was really upset with you because I couldn't put the book down.
Oh.
And I spent so many sleepless nights going, no, really, this is, you've done such an outstanding job on this, Mark. I mean, this is awesome. I highly recommend it to everybody. We're going to link it on our website. And, of course, this interview will be linked on the website as well, so they can share it with their friends and neighbors and get a closer look to collateral damage from Mark Shaw. Thank you, Mark. Take care.
Thank you so much.
Are you worried about refinancing your mortgage only to find a better rate later? Introducing the No Regret Refinance from Network Capital Funding Corporation. Mortgage rates are near all-time lows, and Network Capital is now offering one of our lowest 30-year fixed rates ever, 2.375% with a 2.54% APR. With a rate this low, you'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Our unique process is fast, simple, and secure. And right now, the Network Capital 30-year fixed rate is 2.375% with a 2.54% APR. Now, today's low rates won't last, so talk to us about the No Regret Refinance today. Call the experts at Network Capital right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448.
NMLS ID 11712. Not licensed in all states. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Financial Protection and Innovation under the finance law number 603D787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and may not be available at rate lock. Discount points may apply. Subject to credit approval. Call 800-500-1448 for additional cost information.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
American Airlines announced Sunday that it's cutting some 950 flights from its schedule to reduce the stress of its operations. The airline noted in an email statement that it's facing an incredibly quick ramp-up of customer demand. The National Transportation Safety Board announced Sunday it's investigating a fiery multi-vehicle crash Saturday on Alabama's Interstate 65 that killed 10 people, including 9 children, as storms swept through the southeast. The crash south of Montgomery, Alabama, occurred amid a tropical depression that triggered flash floods, spawned tornadoes, and razed dozens of homes. The New Zealand Olympic Committee has announced that Laurel Hubbard has been selected for the women's weightlifting team for the Tokyo Games. That will make her the first openly transgender athlete to compete in the event. BMX rider Chelsea Wolfe will become the first openly trans athlete with Team USA when she arrives in Tokyo as a reserve rider. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Welcome back. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. We've got the professor in the house. Alan Dershowitz joins us, New York Times bestselling author, one of America's most respected legal scholars. And we've got lots to discuss, including the moral equivalence between Hamas terrorism, Israeli self-defense, and, of course, his brand new book, The Case Against the New Censorship. Professor, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us as always, sir.
Hey, it's great to be back on your show. I enjoy your show very much.
Well, thank you. Before we get into some of these details and some of these stories we're talking about, I wanted to get your read on what's going on with these political prisoners that remain incarcerated in Washington, D.C. as a result of the January 6th riot. What happened to due process? I mean, these are political prisoners, some being beaten up by guards reportedly, being held in solitary confinement. How can that stand here in this country?
We have a presumption of innocence, and we have a presumption of bail. And these are not convicted defendants. These are people who are being detained. They're presumed innocent. They should be released unless there's overwhelming evidence of danger or risk of flight. I'm actually representing one of the young men who was caught up in this, who's a law school student. He's free. But his career is on the line as a lawyer. All he did was exercise his freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, and we're hoping to prevail in our case. So although I personally, you know, I'm on the other side politically of many of these issues, I'm a liberal Democrat. I voted for Joe Biden. I support the Biden administration. I support due process and free speech and right of assembly and the right to protest. And I don't care whether you're protesting me or protesting the other side. You have the right to protest. You shouldn't be in prison awaiting trial for something that you believe was your constitutional right.
Yeah, I'm bothered because I believe the narrative of January the 6th has been conveniently put in a box, and there's no consideration of any other reasons for why people went into the Capitol building and, you know, we're told they stormed it, and yet we're seeing video, Professor, of the Capitol Police basically inviting people to come in. I mean, it was even with that one gentleman who was in the hairdress, you know, the regalia that's quite notable that everybody sees. He's
no
right
crime,
there.
No crime to dress up.
Yeah, I mean, he's right there and talking with the Capitol Police, and he just says, "You guys don't have any guns, right?"
My client, the same thing. He was welcomed in by the police. And he would never have gone in if he hadn't been told he'd come in. He didn't go there to enter the Capitol. He went there because the president said to him that he should protest patriotically and peacefully, and he wanted to do that. That was his goal. That was his intention. I think a lot more facts will come out as these issues unfold. And everybody should be treated as an individual. They shouldn't be grouped together. People, you know, people went there for different reasons. People went there out of different ideologies. People went there peacefully. And that should be looked at. The rule of law requires that everybody be treated as an individual.
Yeah, I'm screaming from the rafters here. I got to tell you, because when you see that people are being held in solitary confinement, due process is being disregarded, and it's all based on a single narrative. Like you said, it's one size fits all. This is what the federal government is habitual in doing. Everything is somehow fits into a convenient box and package for them, and in this particular case, it seems to be serving more a political purpose than an American purpose.
Right, and we know the Justice Department has issued regulations and memorandum saying there are categories of people and they should be treated as categories. No, not in America. In America, we're not categories. Under the First Amendment, each of us is an individual who has the right to petition the government, the right to free speech, the right to free expression, and we have to be judged individually on what we did do and what we didn't do, not on what others did.
Mm-hmm. Professor, I've heard anywhere from, you know, a couple hundred, I think as many as 521 people, I guess, is one report. People have been arrested and charged with crimes, and the process is very, very slow, which is, you know, in contrast, you look at what's happening in the border. It's open like a sieve. People are allowed to, you know, come running into our country, and we've got due process of American citizens that somehow is being ignored for some political end here, or to teach somebody a lesson, I guess.
Well, I hope we'll have due process. You know, there's a pretty good court system in Washington, D.C., and I do think that once lawyers get on board and once we see briefs filed, we'll see more due process than we've seen in the beginning. Look, the event was a cataclysmic event in America. And there are some people who did things that deserve punishment. Mm-hmm. But individualized consideration is the key to the rule of law.
Exactly. Well, Professor, I wanted to talk about a conversation that you've been having. And, of course, again, we were hit with a perspective from Ilhan Omar, which is anti-Semitic on its face and disturbing. And you said clearly, this moral equivalence between Hamas terrorism and Israeli self-defense, that's an abomination, right?
It's an abomination, and it's anti-Semitic. I mean, you might want to make equivalencies between Hamas terrorism and PLO terrorism, or Hamas terrorism and other forms of terrorism. But the idea that a democracy, whether it's the United States or Israel, can be compared to a tyranny like Hamas because it engaged in self-defense, look what just happened yesterday. Mm-hmm. Hamas sends these incendiary balloons. They set farms on fire. They set houses on fire. They endanger the lives of children. And what is Israel expected not to respond? Of course they have to respond. Imagine how America would respond.
Exactly.
Imagine how America did respond when we've been attacked in the past. And we shouldn't compare the United States' response to Japan when Pearl Harbor was attacked to Hamas. Hamas has decided that every 5 or 7 years, it was going to start rockets against Israel. Israel will then have to retaliate. And then the international community will attack Israel for its retaliation. That's one thing. But to have a member of Congress make a comparison between the United States and Hamas. Hamas murders gay people. Hamas murders Christians. Do you know how many Christians are left in Gaza? If there are any, they're in prison. Because you can't be a Christian in Gaza. And to compare Hamas, which is doing this, to the United States, where all religions are free, is such a disgrace to a member of Congress. Ilhan Omar should be stripped of her committee chairmanships. The Democratic Party is making a terrible, terrible mistake, giving her the honor of serving on committees. And it's just wrong. And the Democratic leadership is showing cowardice. Again, I'm a Democrat.
Right.
Where is Chuck Schumer? I mean, is Nancy Pelosi? Where are the leaders of the Democratic Party when it comes to Ilhan Omar? They can't show cowardice. You can't show cowardice when Joe McCarthy rears his ugly head in the 1950s, and you can't show cowardice when Ilhan Omar rears her equally ugly head in the current age.
Well, the Republican Party, I guess to its credit, has been quick to remedy those situations when they come up. By contrast, and there's a clear contrast to your point, you've got the leader of the House and Nancy Pelosi pretty much coming alongside Ilhan Omar and, supporting her. And, and like you say, well, where is the leader of the House? Where's Chuck Schumer in addressing, this issue? Because it is on its face anti-Semitic. And it's somebody in a very powerful position in our government that we're allowing place and preference to, which is very dangerous down the road as Israel themselves are realizing that they're running into problems. Did you think the timing of this attack from Hamas was interesting? Because here we are in the midst of a transference of leadership that has been taking place, and then Hamas attacks Israel.
Oh, there's no question. This was a test of the new government. This is a test of the new administration. And the new administration passed the test. They responded. They didn't kill anybody. They destroyed some military targets, some military activities, and they did exactly the right thing. And so the United States must continue to support Israel militarily, politically, economically, because they're our strongest ally in the Middle East.
Exactly.
And when you get members of Congress attacking Israel and making these equivalencies, and, Ilhan Omar is not the worst. She's an outlier. Everybody knows she is not a somebody who supports American values in many ways. To compare Hamas to America is so outrageous.
Exactly.
But
got to go to break.
Pick it up, guys. Pick it up.
At Ballard Builders, demand is through the roof. To keep up, his business needs a stronger foundation.
That's the call, right? Just one sec. Ballard Builders, this is Bal. This weekend? Yeah, we can do it.
Indeed can help him hire the people he needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamel Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Every day we continue to experience the case against the new censorship protecting free speech from big tech, progressives, and universities. With us to talk about it, New York Times bestselling author, one of America's most respected legal scholars, Alan Dershowitz, is back with us. And Alan, you know, this current case that's pending, that you got a favorable judgment in this CNN defamation lawsuit. I don't want to get into details and compromise anything, but this is a case in point of what needs to be done with bullies. You got to be able to bully them back. And in this case, fortunately, the court was, was right on to give you, a decision to move forward in this defamation lawsuit.
Yeah, what CNN did was just beyond belief.
Yes.
I had said for a whole day in front of the Senate, made my argument, the president cannot commit crimes. If the president commits high crimes and misdemeanors, he can be impeached. If the president commits any criminal conduct that is relevant to his job, he can be impeached. And then I said, in answer to the question of the senator, if the president does anything unlawful or illegal, he can be impeached. And CNN goes on and says, Dershowitz says the president can't be impeached even if he murders people. even if he engages in criminal conduct, even if he engages in unlawful conduct, what they did is they doctored my recording, mm-hmm. took out the words unlawful and illegal, and played it without that, and then had their commentators say I was like Stalin and Hitler, allowing a president to do anything he wanted, even illegal conduct. So I sued them for a lot of money. Look, there are mm-hmm. a lot of charities who would be very happy if I win. Right. And the court looked at what I said, and the court looked at what CNN said, and the court ruled that that was not a fair report of what I said, mm-hmm. so that they could not get the benefit of the fair reporting privilege, and therefore I have a right to trials. And now I have the ability to depose Jeff Zucker, the head of CNN, and various commentators at CNN, and be able to prove that it was a calculated decision to try to destroy my reputation because exactly. I've done a good job defending the president. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to pay for it. And that's the way the law should operate. You know, they have a First Amendment right to be wrong, but they don't have a First Amendment right to maliciously distort what I said and turn it into the exact opposite of what I
right.
said.
And to try to attack your credibility, discredit you,
yeah.
and,
yeah.
you know, do what the cancel culture does. They wanted to cancel you altogether.
And they did. And they canceled me from CNN. They canceled me from MSNBC. Fortunately, I was able to be on other networks and make my points. And I still write my op-eds and I write my books. But cancel culture is very dangerous. And it's quickly becoming American culture because people can be canceled at the whim of just a few people. The New York Times had an interesting story the other day about a family in England that had been canceled as a result of one woman who had simply put things online about them that were totally made up.
Yeah.
But people believe them because of the way high tech operates. If you accuse somebody of something, in that case, they were accused of being pedophiles, it jumps to the top of the Google search. And as Winston Churchill said, a lie gets halfway around the world before the truth has a chance to put its shoes on.
Yes.
And you can't catch up. I was falsely accused of something. I disproved it beyond any possible doubt. I got evidence from the woman herself admitting to
right,
that.
Exactly.
And
I remember
yet people still believe it because it's out there. And that's
right.
the way the Internet works. And that's why the new censorship is so much more dangerous than the old censorship. The old censorship was government. You can beat the government. I've litigated how many, 25, 30 First Amendment cases over the years, and I've won almost all of them because we have the First Amendment on our side. But
exactly.
when the high-tech people do it, they have the First Amendment on their side, and they can censor. And now there's a lawsuit that former President Trump and others are bringing against the major Internet providers for taking him down, saying, mm-hmm. wait a minute, you can't deprive the American people of the right to hear their former president, maybe their future president if he gets his way, just because you don't like what he said.
Exactly. Well, not to mention, how many things are we finding out that President Trump had said that the legacy media and big tech and Twitter and, you know, Facebook had canceled, discredited, and were finding out to be truth. I mean, you know, a recent case in point now is the truth of what happened in the Wuhan laboratory as a leak is now has become irresistible to the legacy media, and they're reporting on it.
Well, that's why the marketplace of ideas is so important. Nobody has a monopoly on truth.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the reason the hard left, particularly young people on the hard left, the identity politics people, think they don't need free speech and due process is because they think they have the truth with a capital T's.
Right.
And if you have the truth on your side, what do you need dissenting opinions? What do you need due process? You know that any woman who accuses a man is telling the truth. You know that every election is fair. You know that every vaccine is good. And that may be right. But there should be an opportunity for the other side to be presented.
Because experience has demonstrated time and again, Professor, when we have due process and we're able to reason together, we have a better America and a better result, don't we?
Yeah, but, you know, these people have their utopia in mind. They think they know what is best for America, and they don't think they need to hear from us folks. We're not woke enough, and we're not identity politics enough. And you know what? We're white, and we're male, and we're heterosexual. And if those things, what right do we have to speak? We've spoken long enough. It's time for the others to speak out and time for them to silence us. No, I want to hear from everybody. I want to hear
exactly.
from them. I want to make sure no one is silenced, but I don't want to be silenced either. And I won't be canceled, and I won't be silenced, and I won't take a back seat. And I won't give preference to anybody based on racial or gender or sexual preference considerations. Every idea has to fail or succeed on their merits.
Exactly.
I believe in what Martin Luther King said. I dream of a day when my children will someday be judged by the content of their character, not the color of their skin, not the racial identity, not their gender identity, not their sexual identity.
And here we are, Professor, looking at the color of one's skin when Martin Luther, you know, had presented, Martin Luther King had presented that idea. It was about black America, but today in the 21st century, we're talking about white America now, too. I mean, who would have thought that, you know, that that would have such universal application? You know, when he said that, it was profound and it caused people to ponder. But here it is, the actuation of it today is prevalent. And it's real. And as Tim Scott says, you know, what are we doing? We're using racism to fight racism? How does that make sense?
Yeah, and I have a new book coming out in the next month or so called The Case for Colorblind Equality in an Age of Identity Politics. And I start by two incidents. I was at Martin Luther King's speech in 1963. I was a law clerk in the Supreme Court. And I heard him say those words. And then about a year or so later, I had dinner with Malcolm X, and I heard him express completely the opposite point of view on race. He wanted race to matter. He wanted race to be taken into account. He wanted people to be judged on their race. And so my book is about the conflict between King and Malcolm X and how we should resolve it in favor of Martin Luther King and make sure that
exactly.
we ultimately live in a colorblind society.
Well, here we are. You know, I think one of the big oversteps and things that people are incredibly ignoring here is we have more mixed marriages than we've ever had in our society today. And so how do you tell these young kids that one of their parents is good and the white parent is bad? And they go home and have dinner and they say, well, Johnny, what did you learn in school today? Well, I learned mom that because you're black, you're good. Dad's white, he's bad.
Yeah. And, you know, can you imagine the debate over the 13th, 14th and 15th Amendment? Somebody got up in 18, you know, 60 something. And said, oh, by the way, the Equal Protection Clause means a white person can marry a black person. Not a single person would have voted for that amendment.
Right.
Nobody, not Abraham Lincoln, nobody supported what they called then miscegenation. Today it's routine, as you say.
Exactly.
We've eliminated race from consideration, legally at least, in marriage and in relationships and other kinds of things. Why do we want to bring it back? Why do we want to have black-only dorms, black-only dining rooms, black-only classes, black-only classes where only blacks can teach and black students can attend? That's not the kind of society I think any of us want to live in except for Malcolm X and his followers, and they're a small, small minority.
Thank God. But the thing is that the majority cannot sit silent. They've got to activate. And this is, you know, the purpose of your book in the case against new censorship is to open the eyes of Americans who have been distracted and have not watched what's happening right underneath their busyness and other duties that they've had in terms of trying to provide for their families and, you know, dealing with political issues and everything else that's been happening in our world. But the fact of the matter is this case against the new, this is vital because this is foundational to our freedom, isn't it?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And I think our freedoms are in danger today from identity politics, from these new courses in critical race theory, and from seeing everything through the eyes of who you are, who you were born, what your color is, what your gender is, rather than what kind of a person you are. Mm-hmm. And that's just not what America was built on. George Washington wrote a letter to the Jews, there were so few of them, of Newport, Rhode Island, in the beginning of his presidency, in which he says, to bigotry we will give no sanction. It was the first country in the history of the world ever to give Jews full citizenship and say, we will judge you by the quality of your character. We won't judge you by the fact that you are Jewish or Catholic or Buddhist or Muslim. And we're the first country to do that. We shouldn't lose that.
Well, because the ideals of our founding fathers, Professor, started out was aspirational of moving toward a more perfect union. We're not saying we've arrived. It is a process, right?
Exactly.
We'll never arrive. The struggle for liberty never stays won. The struggle for freedom never stays won. But you can't stop the struggle. We can't give up. We have to try to achieve it every single day. The Bible says justice, justice must be run after. The Hebrew word is rodef, run after. You'll never achieve it, but you have to keep running after it.
Alan Dershowitz.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started